belong to the Rodriguez tribe. You know, the Jesus tribe, Polaro tribe, Zimili tribe. We have family. We like to call them tribes. I don't know. It sounds mighty and powerful. And it's a safe place to be. And you were born into a family. You are, until you die, part of that family, whether you like it or not. Sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't. And, you know, sometimes you don't like it and you are sort of separated from that tribe that you belong to. And you don't act the way that tribe is called to act and do things and behave. But that doesn't put you out of the tribe. That doesn't put you out of the family. You are legally part of that family you were born in. You were born in, you'll die in it. And so we were singing some things in there. And we belong to the tribe of the living God if we have received Jesus as our Savior. See, you only belong to that tribe if you were born again. You were born to a physical tribe. You can be born again into the tribe that belongs to God. But, you know, you may be born into the tribe and then you don't like the members of that tribe and you sort of, you go different places. It doesn't stop you from being part of the tribe. You are legally part of the tribe, but you don't enjoy the fellowship of the tribe. And I know a lot of times we're out of fellowship with the family of God. And we don't, you know, the problem with that is while you're part of the tribe and fellowshipping with the tribe, you enjoy the blessings of that tribe. When you separate yourself, you're legally still part of it, but fellowship is not there. Experientially, you're not enjoying that belonging there. And that happens in the family of God. We can be born again. The Spirit of God living in us, calling us sons of the living God, and yet we don't enjoy fellowship. And God is saying, I don't want you just to belong to my family. I want to for you to enjoy the fellowship that I intend to have with my family. Just like that dad that Yesenia described, I bet he was so relieved that him and his son were able to come together as a family. The son was never not part of the family, but he didn't have the fellowship, and he was miserable, and he was sad. And many of us spiritually, we find ourselves in that place. Cry out. Cry out. That's a message for today from the Lord. And that was not part of the message that I have for you, so that was a freebie. Awesome. And now that was very refreshing. And now we go back to what we started last Sunday. You may not enjoy that well. It made you squirm and wiggle in your chair. And you wanted to step out and take a lot of bathroom breaks. But it's part of the counsel of God for us today. We were talking about forgiveness. We started talking about offenses and the fact that people undoubtedly will offend us and that we will undoubtedly offend others, whether we know it or sometimes we don't know it. Jesus told us that offenses are inevitable. So we're going to be offended and we are going to offend people. And then we talked about how to confront a brother or sister that has offended us in some way. We looked at Matthew 18, from verses 15 to 17, and Jesus told us how to address an offense from a brother or sister. And I think I am very emphatic about the fact that you need to address it. Don't just say, that's nothing. It is not nothing. It's bad English, but it's truth. It is a very serious thing because it tends to build some resentfulness in our hearts. The aim of addressing a brother or a sister's offense is not to get even. We want to mend the relationship. We want to have fellowship, and that fellowship needs to be restored. And so God has provided for us a plan, and we discussed it in length last time. And by the way, you can hear these messages on Life in LaBelle, lmclabelle.org. There are all the messages for a few months all the way back. So if you didn't hear last Sunday message and you want to catch up, you can go on your leisure time and find it. So we also talked about our call to always forgive when somebody comes to us in repentance and asks us forgiveness. We are called to forgive. Yeah. And we looked at the parable, that the story that Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 18 from verse 23 to verse 35. We're not going to go through it again. He talks about this king who settled account with his servants. And this servant owed him a tremendous amount of money, and he begged the king to forgive him, and the king did. But the guy went out and had another co-servant and owed him a few pennies, and he wouldn't forgive. And so the story ended in Matthew 18:34, saying, and his master was angry. This was the guy that would not forgive his fellow servant. And so the king, the master, found out about his unforgiveness when he was forgiven so much. And so his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers. Now that's an interesting word. The King James calls it tormentors. That doesn't sound like fun at all. And so he was delivered. The master did not torment him. The master delivered. In other words, he let him go until he should pay all that was due him. And then Jesus brings the conclusion and the message of his teaching, saying, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, what will the Father do if I don't forgive my brother? He'll let the tormentors get a hold of us. It does not say, my heavenly Father may do likewise. It says he will. So, very serious subject about forgiveness, and one that we want to brush off, or one that we want to say, oh, I'm a forgiving person. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll find out. And so, this is where we left the last time. And so, continuing to develop this subject of forgiveness, the word tells us that our fellowship with God, now, again, I'm bringing the difference between relationship with God. If we are born again, we are sons and daughters of God. But our fellowship is our intimacy with him. And so our fellowship with God is not right until our fellowship with others is made right. Amen. And for that, we go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, and Jesus is speaking here. And he says in verse 23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. God is saying here to us, if you are going to praise and worship me, then first make it right with your brother and your sister, and then come and worship. Those are strong words coming from the Lord, from our Father. And so many times we take the issue so lightly or simply ignore it. Forget him, forget you, forget that one. Question to you, do you have any issue with a brother and sister? If you do, it is probably hindering your time of worship. No wonder everything looks kind of weird here, just before the preaching. You feel uncomfortable, you feel wiggly, you feel like you're out of place, you feel like, oh, you came to the wrong church. Well, maybe you have an odd against a brother or sister, and that is stopping the fellowship, the intimacy with God that he wants to have with you, because there are unresolved issues that you need to go and take care of before deciding to come and worship. See, we don't come here just for a social gathering. We enjoy a social gathering, but our main and our key point is what happened just now. A time of worship and fellowship and intimacy with our Father. Well, we realize how much he loves us, and we want to let him know that we love him too. And we demonstrate that by worshiping him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, the Apostle Paul says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. What does that mean? That means, you know, Jesus said, agree with your adversary quickly, otherwise he may take you to jail. Take you to the judge, and the judge will take you to the bailiff, and you end up in jail until you pay everything you owe. So what is the bolt of the nut of what Jesus wants to say here is, take care of things that are wrong in you before God has to take care of it. Because if there is unforgiveness there, God, you know what he does? He doesn't punish you. He just steps back. And there is an enemy after you that is constantly seeking, prowling around you, waiting for the right time. And when God steps back because of your unforgiveness, then he comes in and preys on you. Amen. And he is a tormentor. There's nothing fun about him. Nothing. So we need to judge ourselves. And when we judge ourselves, then we find what's wrong in there, and nobody else has to point it out to us. Hopefully, not only recognize that there's something wrong, we do something about it. And God has given us plenty of places where he acknowledges, he let us know that if we acknowledge our sin and confess it to him and to whoever we offended, he's faithful and just to forgive. We don't have to end up being tortured and tormented. Repent. Make things right as quickly as you can. And then the Father will show up in your time of worship, and he will hug you and rub your back. Let you know everything is okay. And now we come to what may be the most difficult phrase found in the Lord's Prayer. To say it and to mean it. I mean, we can say all kinds of things. Words can be cheap. But to mean what we say. Matthew 6:12. And forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now remember who you're talking to when you say those words. I think sometimes we say it like a rooster, you know, every morning at 6 o'clock. And you scare me, he forgets a song. I've done that too. We don't do that because it's what we do. We do that because it is the right thing at the right time. So when we say to the Lord, Lord, forgive me as I forgive those that are indebted to me. Do we mean that? Jesus readdresses only two aspects of the Lord's Prayer. You know, in several of the Gospels, the prayer is found. But only two aspects of the prayer are re-emphasized by the Lord. One is persistent. In one of the Gospels, Jesus, after he teaches the disciples how to pray, he says a story about a woman that would not let the judge rest until things were made right with her property. So one of the aspects that Jesus brings up about the Lord's Prayer is persistence. We need to be persistent in prayer, and Jesus is bringing that up. But then the other subject that Jesus brings up after teaching about prayer is forgiveness. Amen. These two things seem to be a very important part of prayer, persistence and forgiveness. Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Again, that is a very strong statement coming from the God of the universe, the God who is love. He doesn't just have love, he is love. And yet, he's saying, if you don't forgive your brother, your sister, I can't forgive you. Well, I won't, I guess. So there's a connection between our willingness to forgive others and our ability to receive forgiveness and experience it from the Lord for our sins. When we struggle with God's forgiveness towards us, many times it's just connected to unforgiveness on our part towards somebody else. You know, sometimes we feel just dirty and God doesn't love me. We're just projecting our same attitude that we have towards somebody else that we don't want to extend forgiveness to. When we have unforgiveness, we think we hold other people's hostages to us. And you know, when we hold other people hostages, we end up in prison. Amen. You know that? Amen. So when you're holding forgiveness to somebody else, you're really holding yourself up in a prison. This explains, at least in part, why so many Christians live with chronic discouragement, with depression, with unresolved guilt, with a lot of anger, and many times a lot of emotional issues. There's a lot of unforgiveness that is driving all those things. And really, we are responding out of the torment that we're living through, because the tormentors have found a gate to come in and inflict pain in us, and that is projected out in how we act in life. When we refuse to forgive others, when we decide to hold on to bitterness, hold on to hurt, we hold people hostage by keeping them as our debtor. You owe me. When we refuse to release them from that debt, then we are affecting our capacity to receive and experience God's grace and God's forgiveness. Amen. And as long as we're in that position, we're held hostage by the enemy, whom we have opened a door wide open into our hearts and say, hey, come and torment me. I know that this is an old story, but it so vividly illustrates the principle. I'm going to read it to you, and you will know that you've heard this before. Once upon a time, two men went into the forest to cut wood. As they labored together, one of the men was bitten on the ankle by a poisonous snake. As his foot and leg began to swell to threatening proportions, the man became frightened and then became angry. Grabbing an axe, he started beating the bush into which the snake had disappeared. His friend attempted to dissuade him from his search, telling him how important it was that they get immediately to the hospital. He knew time was limited to stop certain death from creeping into his friend's bloodstream. But the wounded man refused to listen. He beat angrily at the tall grass and bushes as he shouted, "I am not leaving here until I've killed that snake." In all of life's attacks upon us, Jesus is our doctor and our healer. Amen. We must make the choice to rush ever so quickly into his loving mercy and provision of grace, or we can choose to kill snakes until the venom of unforgiveness and bitterness claims our spiritual lives. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful." The people who are merciful, the people who extend mercy to others, are blessed because they themselves will obtain mercy from God. Amen. And those who don't extend mercy towards their offended will be forced to do without mercy themselves. I recognize that I need mercy. Boy, do I need mercy. Unforgiving people, they'll be forced to bear the weight of their own guilt. They will live life under a sense of condemnation in their own hearts. Star was talking about joy. Boy, unforgiveness can zap that joy and hide it way back in your inner self to where you sometimes don't even think you got what it takes. So many Christians live with emotional bondage. That sense of unresolved issues in their heart because they have not been merciful to others. They have not extended forgiveness to others, and yet they're hoping that God will let them off the hook. We cannot expect God to forgive us if we have not forgiven others. The Lord's Prayer is intended for believers, those who are born again. The prayer starts, "Our Father." Amen. When we're born into this world, our father is the devil. You say, "What?" Well, if you're saying "what," then we need to talk. It is taught in the Word. You see, that's why we have to be born again, because as we are born naturally, we belong to the devil. And that's why we have to be born again to be born into the family of God. Amen. So the Lord's Prayer is intended for believers. So Jesus is not saying here that you will lose your salvation until you're willing to extend forgiveness to others. But once your sins have been forgiven and you become a child of God, you need a daily ongoing cleansing and forgiveness in order to maintain open fellowship with God and as his child. And you will not receive forgiveness from God if you don't forgive your fellow brother and sister. Amen. Your relationship with God continues. You're a child of God, but your fellowship with God is affected. And he gave us a prescription to take care of that. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so you say, okay, Lord, I have unforgiveness. Forgive me, I confess it. And nothing happens. And God is saying, go to your brother, go to your sister, confess, ask forgiveness. And then we'll have fellowship. Remember, leave your offering at the altar. Go and make it right with your brother, and then make your offering before God. In order to experience forgiveness, we need to forgive others. You will live under the weight and the guilt of sins you have committed against God if you are holding other people's sins against them. Now, this Lord's Prayer, which you know by heart, I'm sure, this prayer implies a few things. First of all, we all have debts. We are all debtors. People owe us, and we owe people. We tend to see other people's debt to us very readily. We're very conscious of other people's debts, but we don't really readily see the debt, our debt to God or to others. We're always blaming others, where we tend to be blaming others, rather than assuming our own guiltiness or guilt. Aren't we much quicker to see how other people have hurt us rather than how we have hurt others? We're very quick to point out how they offended me. Amen. We are to pray first, forgive our debts. Are you as conscious of your own sins as you are of other person's sins against you? So we all had debts. We all are debtors. So we all need forgiven. All of us need forgiveness, just as we all need to forgive others. There's only two ways of dealing with other people's sins against us, with their debts. Either we can keep those debts on the books, we can keep the debtor on the hook and hold out for payment. We can continue being debt collectors, or, as accountants do, we can press the delete button. We can write those debts off. Yeah. We can forgive them, release them, just as we were released because we were guilty and charged with eternal death. Eternal. And in one death of the Lord Jesus Christ, he paid the price for me so that my punishment was click deleted, just because I said, Jesus, you're my Savior. You died for me. In Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer is phrased this way: and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Do we? Now, this is our prayer to God. Are we lying to God? No wonder you're not praying the Lord's Prayer. Well, we need to. Listen. As long as we are in this body, in this world, we are not going to stop sinning entirely. As long as you're in this body, in this world, people are not going to stop sinning against you entirely. In fact, Jesus said, anyone who is righteous will suffer persecution. Amen. There will always be sins for which we need to be forgiven, and there will always be sins that we need to forgive on the part of others. An unforgiving family or an unforgiving church will quench the spirit, will hinder the free flow of his life within the body, whether it's a home or a church, and will limit the expression of his grace and love through that body. You know, we come on Friday mornings, and more than once, I know my wife has prayed for God to bring a revival in this place, like there's a revival in somewhere up there where that place. And I'm saying, well, if that is to happen, then we have to get rid of unforgiveness. Amen. As a body, as a family. Amen. We need to forgive. And we're going to talk about later on about, you know, how does forgiveness shows up. But we need to do our part first and let God work out the demonstration and the result of that forgiveness in others. We don't have to see them. We have to see ourselves before God, and then God will take care of them.
That's right.
Amen. So let's make it personal. Is there anyone here that needs to forgive? Anyone at all? Maybe it's not a big conscious thing. Maybe it's not hatred in your heart. It may be just a simmering resentment. You know, sometimes you come in close to people and you see that person and you try to avoid direct confrontation somehow. That is a good sign that there may be some unforgiveness there. You find yourself trying to put people in a negative light when their name comes up. There may be some unforgiveness there. Anyone that you resent for towards? Anybody that you're still trying to collect their debt and make them pay? After all, they did awful. They deserve to be held hostage. You know, they probably do. But you're bringing yourself hostage by holding them hostage. Would you let it go? Would you press the delete key for once? Would you say, as God has forgiven me, I choose to forgive this person? And it is only then that you can say, our Father who art in heaven, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Father, I pray for forgiveness in the hearts of you people. Of all of us. Oh, Lord, how we need it. So often issues are the result of bitterness and intolerance. It doesn't just happen in the world, Lord. It happens within your church. We see resentment, harbored hurt, broken relationships, contentions, divisions. Father, forgive us for all of that. Forgive us for our unforgiveness. Forgive us for bringing a reproach to the name of Jesus Christ because of our contentions and our unwillingness to forgive and let go. Lord, we have family members that we have not forgiven. Lord, I know that that's not easy sometimes. Lord, there are people here that have had huge issues and barriers and sins that have been committed against them by their own family members. Lord, I know it is not easy, but I thank you for the cross and for Christ who makes it possible. Father, would you help us? Would you teach us how to forgive, to make the choice to forgive, to release, to let him go, just as you did us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't want to let you go until I give an opportunity. If you have a desire to change your ways because you recognize that there are some issues in your life, we're here to help. And the best offer we can do at this point is pray with you. So if you have an issue that you want to get rid of, we'll help you through going to the Father. He's a great listener. He'll listen to you. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of the week.